Well, hello everyone, and welcome once again with myself and Black Horse here. We're going to talk about the dollar system today. Black Horse is a financial expert, among other things, so I can think of nobody better to talk about it. There is all sorts of stuff talked about. You know, is BRICS going to challenge the dollar system? Are China and Russia going to come up with some sort of way to counter American hegemony? What's happening with the dollar system? Will the US, you know, super imperialism, as Michael Hudson called it, based on debt, you know, is it coming to an end? All of these questions and more I will put to Black Horse in a moment. But first of all, I'll remind everybody, promo code SHORJAN gets you 25% off all courses of the academic agency right through until the end of January. Buy it now. You've got about a week or so left to pick that up. Black Horse, where can people find you?
Red Ensign Substack, the Red Ensign on YouTube, at Black Horse 65 on Twitter.
All right, so the US dollar system, is it under threat, Black Horse? What's going on?
Yeah, so there's much discussion of it. There are elements. One of the things that I want to emphasize is that it is properly understood as the U.S. dollar system rather than as the petrodollar system or the eurodollar system or any of these other kind of frames for it. And the reason you properly understand it that way is that it is a very diverse system. There are a lot of mechanisms by which the United States creates artificial demand for treasuries and dollars, both for the purposes of reserves and the purposes of transactions. We're going to look at the health of various parts of this system to try to understand. If you look at the actions of the American empire over the last 3 years, they signal an increase in exploitation of this system, both the tariffs, the escalating deficit spending, which will be inflationary if not successfully exported, represent escalations in the leverage being applied to this system. And so I think it's an appropriate time to look at its health, at least in financial terms. Its health in financial terms is other contingencies that, you know, maybe a military expert might be able to evaluate. But I think you've got the migration image there. So the first piece to look at here is central bank reserves broken down. Hang on a second. Should be number one there should be central bank reserves, the long view. We can talk about the central bank reserves by currency if we want to either.
Bear with me. Just give me a second on this. The full mass of the image again is wrong. Carry on. I'll have this image with you in a second.
Yeah, so the image here we're going to look at looks at currencies held at central banks globally. So the key function, or there are kind of two key legs of the US dollar system. The first is the use of the US dollar for transactions. The second is the use of the US dollar for reserves. In the period between 1950 and 2000, the US dollar replaced both gold and other currencies as the principal currency for reserves for central banks. The consequence of this is that if you print more US dollars, all of these foreign holders of either T-bills or dollars experience the inflation that otherwise would only be experienced domestically in the United States. I think it's worth noting that we're near the peak of the relative holding of US dollars as reserves right at the moment. So we're in a situation where the current system isn't as powerful as it was in 2000, but it is not in like a terminal decline position right at the moment, or at least it wasn't as of 2021 where this data cuts off. I want to identify a couple of key trends that many people may not have noticed. The first is the relative decline of the euro as a rival currency during this period. And the second is the massive decline of gold as a rival reserve currency in the period between 1980 and 2000. So the US dollar system as it existed in 1980 from a reserves point of view was vastly weaker than it was in 2000. And in the period between 2000 and 2010, there was some thinking that maybe the euro would become a genuine rival as a reserve currency, and that did not materialize. There's a whole story about the inter-elite competition there, but it's important to note that that attempt was successfully disrupted. If we flip to reserves by currency more recently, you can see the story of the euro more clearly. Period between 1990 and about 2008, the euro begins to emerge as a, looks like it may emerge as a competitor. Period between 2008 and today, that story's over. If we flip forward to foreign treasuries, the other element here to discuss is the fraction of treasuries which are held by foreign entities, whether they're central bank reserves or other holders of U.S. treasuries. This is kind of a measure of how effectively the U.S. can export inflation in its debt market. Again, you see a pattern here which is pretty similar. In the period between the fall of the Soviet Union and about 2008, the system gets stronger and stronger. And in the period between 2008 and today, this element of the dollar system is weakening, but not weakening in a kind of catastrophic and immediate way. And if we kind of look at how this is divided, you can see why I have not identified this as the petrodollar system or the eurodollar system or the chimerica system. If you look at this graphic, you can see it's actually all of these things. In the top right, you can see huge numbers of US Treasury reserves held in Europe. You can see Japan and China are big pillars on which this system stands. You can see, actually, from a reserves point of view, the Arab countries are not as significant as they might appear. But you can also see that there are other elements of this system. There's the whole Cayman Islands market for the offshore dollar, and there are some other elements to it as well. The last two pieces I want to talk about is the transactional demand for the dollar. So if we switch to our SWIFT transactions element, you can really see how hard the Americans have damaged the attempt to challenge the US dollar's position by European elites, particularly as a consequence of the opportunity that was created during the Ukraine war. So the US dollar's position as a transactional currency has really strengthened a lot as a consequence of fairly recent geopolitical events. The last thing I want to talk about is graphic number 7, central bank reserves versus US dollar versus gold. Probably the most significant challenge to the US dollar system that has occurred recently, the most significant evidence that it is actually weakening is the reemergence of gold as a rival reserve for central banks. You can see this here, the value of gold reserves held by central banks has really escalated a lot, particularly since the Ukraine war. The principal purchasers of gold in this period are central banks, Poland, Turkey, Russia, China, India. All of these have a common thread. They are all states which are kinetically threatened in some way, or are all the way outside the US empire. So you can see that non-vassal states of the United States are preparing for a world in which the US dollar system is may come to an end, at least with regard to their reserves. Whereas states like Canada, the United Kingdom, Germany, are actually increasing the US dollar as a relative fraction of their reserve.
So, sorry to interrupt, Black Horse, but I have a very rudimentary question here. On this graph that we're looking at, you can see that in the 90s and in the 80s, gold was above dollar.
Yep.
Does that mean that the dollar system only has existed since 1998? Or like, how can you explain this?
So there's a transformative... So the dollar system has a bunch of legs. As a transactional system, it's pretty old. As a reserve system for exporting inflation, it got a lot stronger in the 80s and early 90s. So this element of the US dollar system, you can think of as linked to this kind of new world order foreign policy announced by Bush the II right at the end of the Cold War. In contrast to what I would consider a softer system of vassalage, which existed in the period from the end of the Second World War up until kind of the mid 80s.
So as a shorthand, you could say, well, this is the neocon dollar system.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
And you can see the transactional element of the dollar system is as strong or stronger than it's ever been. But the reserve element of the dollar system is pretty rapidly decaying. And that decay dates from kind of the mid 2010s and accelerated a lot as a consequence of the Russo-Ukraine war. The Russo-Ukraine war, in my opinion, has been the most expensive policy the government of the American Empire has ever pursued.
Fascinating. So, I mean, okay, let's get some real talk here. You know, every once in a while, somebody predicts global collapse is on the way. Every once in a while, somebody predicts the US dollar system is ending. BRICS is going to be a resurgent. How much of this is what, you know, there's this phrase going around at the moment, wish casting, right? And how much of it is a real prospect?
So I think you're looking at a system which is in the early stages of decay. So the frame I like to use is that you will live to see the end of the American Empire. But that doesn't mean the end of the American Empire is coming tomorrow morning. You know, in 2025 on your channel, I famously predicted that the U.S. economy would not enter crisis. I will predict that again in 2026, that we're not going to see a catastrophic economic crisis in the United States. That said, there are some early signs of ill health. There is the clear emergence of rivals preparing for a future beyond the U.S. dollar system. And certain key elements of that system, particularly on the reserve side, look weaker than they've looked in the past.
Right. Okay. So why, I mean, given this reality, why do some people prophesy that it's going to happen like soon or like urgently, or it's happening like sooner than you think? There's this one channel I follow. I forget the name of it now. I mean, it's pretty funny. I'll see if I can find it. He literally predicts economic catastrophe every day. I mean, yeah. His entire channel, every single thumbnail is the end is coming, the end is coming. And he gets really good views as well. I don't know who subscribes to this guy, but it's kind of there's a whole business model predicated now of saying this sort of stuff on YouTube, right?
Yeah, I would say that there's really three reasons why you get this. The first reason you correctly identified, this kind of catastrophizing, it's good media, it's good kayfabe. The second reason is there's a lot of people who have economic incentives to talk. We call this in the industry talking your book. Peter Schiff has been predicting the end of the US dollar for, you know, as long as I followed Peter Schiff. He does it in order to sell gold. And you can think what you want about the prospects for gold. It turns out it has been a very good investment in the last couple of years, but that's what he's doing. He's marketing to an audience. The third reason, and I think you find this a lot in many of your current and former colleagues in the kind of anti-regime media, is that I think a lot of people misunderstand the US dollar system as resting on one particular thing. So a very common version of this is to call it the petrodollar system and say it rests exclusively on oil being sold in US dollars. And so when you see Saudi Arabia and other major oil producing nations exploring the use of other currencies for dollars, they see that as even the fact that it's being talked about is catastrophic for this system, where they don't realize that this system has a lot of different and independently strong legs that hold it up. So even if Saudi Arabia woke up tomorrow morning and decided that they were going to be a strategic partner of China and that they were going to only sell oil in gold or some such thing, that would not immediately incite the collapse of the system, because there's all of these, you know, there's still this massive treasury market in Japan. There's still the peg between the Chinese yuan and the US dollar. There's still, whatever reason, the European countries have decided that they need to hold massive US dollar, US treasury reserves at their central bank. There's still all these other legs on which the system stands. So every time one of these legs is threatened, there's a certain class of people who only understand this leg as the system, whereas the system actually has a lot of different supports.
I find the channel, by the way, it's Professor Steve Keen, who is the kind of guru of post-Keynesian economics. You know, remember that guy, Lord Keynes 2 on Twitter? Like, this is the, you know, he wrote that book, Debunking Economics. But if you have a look at his channel, which is almost as big as this channel, every single one, the debt death spiral, Americans are done, the truth behind the US economic collapse, behind the chaos, it's time to panic, a decade of despair, economy collapse, why 2026 crash will be worse than before, total collapse, they're selling you a lie, your last chance. I mean, you can see total collapse. I'm actually thinking, as an experiment, Black Horse, maybe we should give this video a real sensational title like this, you know, because it might be good for views.
I think the what you actually should do is revive my all-time favorite show on your channel, Talking Turley, but instead substitute this guy.
Yeah, well, we could. What's a good thing? Why the U.S. dollar system will collapse in 2026? Should we call the video that?
Sounds about right. Yeah.
Oh, okay. We'll do that as a little inside joke just for us. See if we, you know, I reckon if I gave it a dry, anodyne academic title, we'll get around 9,000-10,000 views for a topic like this. But if we give it that, we could get up into the 20s or the 30s, you know.
There you go.
If the algorithm is kind. So anyway, that's one for maybe Steve Keen will watch this.
There you go.
Speaking of, you know, just before the economy collapses, do pick up the Trivium promo code Shorjan, gets you 25% off. Where can people find you, Black Horse?
At the Red Ensign at Substack, Red Ensign on YouTube, and at BlackHorse65 on Twitter.
Fantastic. Most importantly of all, friends, get out. If you liked this video, be sure to like and subscribe. You can join the channel for thousands of hours of past shows in the archive and hundreds of videos. If you have any questions, you can leave a super chat or a super thanks, and I'll be sure to pick it up during my weekly office hours, which run every Tuesday afternoon. I also provide courses at the academic agency, which I encourage people to buy. Thousands of students now have taken the Trivium to improve their skills in writing, logic, and rhetoric. Just 3 of many courses available. Buy it now. But most importantly of all, friends, get out.